Would you take your Bibles, please, and go to James chapter number one. James chapter number one. We're going to wrap up our series tonight and looking forward to preaching a message on Your Part Matters. And I'm excited about next week, of course, Missions Conference. Looking forward to Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. And I hope you're there. I hope you can be a part of that. Pastor Mike Mutchler is going to be with us. He's been a pastor for many years, 30 plus years, and the same church. He's done a wonderful work up in Oregon. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to wrap up the series tonight. We'll start brand new series Sunday morning and Sunday night after Missions Conference. But tonight, I'm going to wrap up the message, the series, with this thought tonight. Let's put our part, put the part in participation. The part in participation. It's hard to do your part when you're not participating. It's hard to do your part when you're not participating. Don't be a spectator, be a participator. Don't be a spectator, be a participator. So James chapter number one, let's all stand together. We're going to read a few verses here together. And boy, the music was good tonight. Thank you for singing. James chapter number one, look at verse 19. James 1 verse 19, we're going to read down through verse 25. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If we would just do that, that would change our lives. Myself included. Verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's read verse 22 together. Ready, begin. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Boy, what an incredible verse. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man, or if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's this book right here, amen? Amen? Looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. How many here tonight are sports fans? How many are rabid sports fans? Let me say, I love sports. Who loves sports tonight? Boy, I tell you, to be honest with you, I'm probably going to lose my man card here. But I'm just not a huge sports guy. I love to play sports. I played sports all growing up. I have a hard time sitting down and watching a sports game. It's just not my forte. But I love watching sports. I just don't do it. And some of you do it. You love that stuff, and I think it's great. I'm a Raiders fan. I'll tell you that. I'm not going to tell you why I'm a Raiders fan, but it has something to do with my wife. But anyway, I love attending sporting events, but I'll tell you, I've got to be honest with you, it's not because of the sport, it's because I love garlic fries. That's about it. And so, anyway, when I was a kid, I used to spend a lot of time at my grandparents' house. My grandma's over here tonight, I think. And we used to go over there a lot. And my grandpa Chapin, he loved watching golf on television. Now, how many of you like watching golf on television? I don't know what they do in North Korea to torture people, but I have an idea. It's something to do with watching golf on TV. But anyway, I remember being a kid at my grandma's house, and I remember thinking, can we just, I would golf. No matter if you like sports or you don't like sports, we all understand tonight the difference between a player and somebody who's watching the game. There's a big difference. I want to challenge you with this thought tonight. The only way for us to do our part, is to get in on the game. You can't do your part as a spectator. So tonight, here's the challenge for all of us. Am I a spectator or am I a participator? Do I spectate what God is doing or do I participate in what God is doing? Do I spectate people getting saved or do I participate in people getting saved? Do I spectate during the preaching or do I participate during the preaching? Do I spectate prayer or do I participate in prayer? Do I spectate the church service or do I participate in the church service? And I could go on and on and on. So tonight I want to challenge you. Put the part in participation. Father, I pray that you'd help us with the message tonight. Help it, Lord, to affect our hearts. I know oftentimes we come to church, we hear a message like this, and just like this Bible verse says, we go away and we forget what we hear. We don't put into action what we hear. Help us, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. If you're taking notes tonight, I'm going to give you number one here. What does it mean to be a participator? What does it look like? In this passage of Scripture, James does an incredible job, of course, through the Holy Spirit, about listing here what it means to be a participant, what it means to participate. Number one here is a participator puts principles into practice. There's going to be a lot of peace tonight, so just get ready, all right? A participator puts principles into practice. Look at what James says in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? To hear. Swift to hear. In other words, hear what God is trying to say, whether it's through a message or through reading his word or through prayer, all those things. But be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, notice this, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive. What's that word? Receive the engrafted word with meekness, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, and be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Have you ever tried to teach your kids to do something very specific? And, you know, your 9, 10, 11-year-old, whatever it is, and you take the time, you want to train them, you want to show them how to do a job, and so you take the time and you go through the steps, and you very meticulously show them how to do something. Has anybody ever done that here? Okay, most of us. Like, for instance, I was teaching my sons, I'm teaching them how to iron right now, how to iron their own clothes. It's something we're practicing right now. And, you know, I'm showing Max, I'm saying, hey, you know, pull the, speaking of Max, you coming to church, buddy? You're here? All right, good. Amen. Let me embarrass you. I told him, you know, you take the collar here, you hold it by the collar and you hold it by the sleeve and you stretch it out and you iron all the way up. You iron, I'm trying to help you, some of you people here, you iron all the way up. So the crease goes all the way up, and I'm very meticulous about ironing. I love ironing. I know it's weird. It's ironic. Thank you. Anyways, I'm showing them, you know, I'm like, you pull the back and you know how you blouse and you put a seam in the little thing in the back, and you know, I do all that, and I show them very meticulously. You know what I'm talking about? Step by step, you show them what to do. And then you walk away. And they just do whatever they want. Dad, this isn't working. Whoosh, you know, anyway. But you show your kids this, you try to train them, you try to show them. And then there's something inside of them that says, I'm not going to listen to Dad. I'm not going to listen to Mom. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And as a matter of fact, I probably actually know a better way to do it. Amen. You know, how many did that when you were a kid, right? That's, I could do better than that. And boy, your kids, they go to do it their own way, and they mess up. And that's a good learning experience. They come back and they say, Dad or Mom, I didn't do it right. Something went wrong. Something went haywire. And then it comes back to the fact that they didn't do what they were taught. They did what they thought they might have been taught, or they did what they thought was right, but it wasn't what they were taught. You know, we are guilty of that a lot as Christians. We know what God says in his word. As a matter of fact, we hear a lot of preaching about it. We read about it. We hear sermons about it. We hear these things over and over again, but for some reason, we think that we can do it our own way, or we think we know better. And so that's where we get into a lot of trouble, because we don't listen to what God says in his word, and we think, well, that's not really the way I interpret it. By the way, if I preach something and you think I don't interpret it that way, that's dangerous. You ought to come talk to me and say, Pastor, I don't interpret it that way. This is the way I interpret it, and that way I can show you that you're wrong. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing about that. But the Bible says it's of no private interpretation. So what do we do when we hear God's word, and what do we do when we hear about sin and we hear that it's destructive, but we do it anyway? When we hear about how pride brings destruction, but we're proud anyway? We hear about the promises, the commands, the warnings in scriptures, and yet we walk away and we don't do what the word of God says. We just hear it, but we don't do it. What happens? We mess up. And so how many tonight want to be a successful participant in God's work? I want to do something for God. I want it to matter, and I want it to be what God wants me to do. Yes, but I want it to be effective. And so let me give you two things that James says here, real simple. Letter A is this: if we're going to be an effective participator, first off the bat here is letter A, a participator rejects sin. A participator rejects sin. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with the meekness the engrafted word. First and foremost, somebody who's going to participate in what God wants you to do has to get rid of sin. How many of you are sinners? Okay, good, everybody. We're all sinners, but listen, we get rid of that sin, we confess that sin, we forsake that sin. I believe it every night before you go to bed, you ought to meet with your Lord and say, God, what have I done today? And ask the Lord to search you and try you and clean that up a little bit and ask the Lord to forgive you and start with a fresh start. But a participator is rejects sin. When I played sports, I played soccer. And I know some of you think I'm a girl because I played soccer, but anyways, I also wrestled, played baseball and basketball. Basketball was not good for me, but anyway. But I remember playing sports, and when I got into high school, began to get a little more serious, and I remember playing on the varsity soccer team, and there was guys, seniors in high school that were looking at scholarships, and they were very serious about the sport. It was no joke, you know, and these are guys looking at getting jobs playing soccer, and I remember when we would go out to eat as a team, these guys that were serious, they didn't drink soda. They rejected it. They said, I'm not going to drink that. They didn't drink anything with sugar in it. They didn't eat anything fattening. I mean, these guys wanted to be lean, slim, trim. They did everything that they could. I remember when I wrestled. I remember the first few weeks. Come on, Brother Perez. I remember the first few weeks before the match, you know, guys were trying to drop weight and, you know, wrapping themselves in cellophane, trying to lose weight. And all this. I'm over there eating a donut. I'm like, you know, I'm going to wrestle a 300-pound guy. I don't care, you know. Anyway. But boy, you know, when you're serious about sports, there's some things that you reject. You don't just eat whatever you want, and you don't practice. You reject some things. Well, as a Christian, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, we have to reject sin. Otherwise, we're not going to be a participant the way that we need to be. The Bible calls it a vessel unto honor, fit or appropriate for the master's use. When God looks at us, if we have a bunch of junk in our heart, a bunch of bitterness, a bunch of anger, and a bunch of sin caked up in our life, God's going to look at that and say, I can't use you for this thing because you're not ready to be used. Right. And so a participator, first off, rejects sin. Next, what else does James say here? A participator rejects sin, but look at verse 21. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. So a participator rejects sin, but a participator receives Scripture. Receives Scripture. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We need to allow God's word. We must allow God's word to change us every day. Every sermon ought to change us. Every sermon ought to change us. When God's word is preached, when God's word is read, we ought to allow it. Receive that. You know what engrafted means? It's when you take a tree and you cut a section off and you put another limb on that and you wrap it around and that limb becomes part of that tree. We ought to allow God's word to be part of our lives, and we ought to allow God's word. And you know, so many people today are going everywhere else but the Bible for answers. Everywhere else. Can I just say to you tonight, please listen to your pastor tonight. If you don't hear anything else, listen to this. If you're not in God's word, you're lost. You gotta be in this book. You're not gonna find the answers on YouTube. You're not gonna find the answers on Instagram. Get in your Bible and read the Bible. Read it. Boy, I tell you what, when you get into God's word, He will show you things. He will help you. He will heal you. He will guide you. He will direct you. But so many people are going all over the place, all over the map to try to find the answers when the answers are right here.
That's good, Pastor. Right.
Boy, I tell you, people come to me sometimes and, did you hear about this guy? What do you think about this guy? I don't really care about that guy. I tell you what, how about we get our Bibles out and we read it for a while? Amen. That'll help us. Amen. Oh, boy, I tell you, I heard somebody say, I said it this morning, they made the statement that God's word is like a journal, and sometimes we have to go off the map a little bit. I'm sorry, if you're going off the map, you're going to get lost. I heard somebody say recently out of a charismatic church, they said this, God is bigger than his book. And sometimes God works outside of Scripture. Excuse me? Did your brain roll out of your head while you were sleeping? That's ridiculous. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you want to know who God is, if you want to know who God is, get in that book right there. Stay in that book. Listen, I try to preach the truth here, but I'm not the end-all of truth. I'm not the end-all of truth. The job of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If a pastor ever gets up here or a guest speaker and says something that's not in the Word of God, amen. 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 And I'm just saying, the Bereans were where they searched the Scriptures that those things were so. We receive Scripture. That's what a participator does. But see, we don't criticize. We don't look at, well, that message wasn't really for me or that message was for somebody else. No. That message was for me. We receive the Word of God. We allow it to change us. That's what a participator does. Let me give you number two. A participator has a perfect perspective. A participator has a perfect perspective. Look at verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. You look at yourself in a mirror, right? Hopefully, amen, some once in a while. And I love it when I'm in the school office, because when the sun's up, you can't really see in the school office. So once in a while, I'll be in there doing something, and I'll see teenagers walk past, or adults, walk past the window there, and they stop, and they're just kind of like, all this stuff. But you look in the mirror, and you walk away, and you forget what you look like, amen? And look at verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth of what manner he was. But you see, a participator has a perfect perspective. I don't go to sporting events very often. But when I do go to a sporting event, typically it's in the nosebleed section. Why is that? Because I'm only there for the garlic fries, amen? And so, but I'll sit in the nosebleed sections. Once in a while, I'll get good seats or whatever. But when you sit way up in the back, way up in there, you don't have a very good perspective. Now, you can see the whole thing, but you can't see where the ball is. So, and so those seats are cheap, but you can't really see everything very well. Do you know who has a really good perspective? The players. They have the best perspective. The coach, the referee, the people on the field involved in the game. You see, I want to have a good perspective. I don't want to be a spectator. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between a spectator and a participator. A big difference. In sports, a spectator is there to watch the game. He or she are there to enjoy life. Tailgate party, have fun, relax, eat garlic fries, hang out with their family, right? But a player isn't there for any of that. A player is there to win. They are there to win. They're there to do their job. They're there to work hard, to be vigilant. They're prepared. They give their all. That's what a player does. A spectator comes to sit the whole time. In the work of God, there are many Christians who are in the hearers only club. I call those the spectators of the ministry. They come and they sit and they spectate. You say, what are statistics behind that? I honestly don't know what the statistics are of our church. I didn't look that up because we have a very high percentage of participation. But across America, a study done by Barna Group in 2016, you can look it up, found that the average church in America has an 18% volunteer rate. The average church in America has an 18% volunteer rate. What that means is 82% of the church are spectating, while 18% of the church are participating. I read another statistic that in across the board, this is the high side, the giving, those that engage in giving in a church is somewhere around 24%. That means nearly another 80% are just tipping God. They're not participating in giving. And so we look at those statistics and we think, wow, that's incredible. But what about us? What about us? Are we a participator or are we a spectator? I love this saying, see the need, take the lead. See the need, take the lead. A spectator shows up, they don't see the need. They don't see the need. May I say this? I just want to stop for a second here. If you see a napkin on the ground at church, pick it up. Pick it up. That's not my job. Yes, it is. Are you a participator or a spectator? If you walk into the restroom and there's flecks of water on the mirror, you could take 2 seconds to wipe it down, or you could be a spectator. You could push the trash down. I know I'm getting real practical, but I'm just trying to make a point. You could push the trash down and get some kind of disease. No, I'm just kidding. Push the trash down, or I could walk away from that and not get a disease. But anyway, I'm just teasing. All I'm trying to say is this. I want to be a participator. There's a big difference between a spectator and a participator. Letter A here, a participator recognizes shortfalls. They recognize shortfalls in two places, in themselves and in the work of God. So when you behold your natural face in a glass, you see who you are, you walk away, you forget. But when you're in God's word and you're studying his word and you're hearing preaching and you're participating in the messages, that shows you can see the shortfalls in your own life. I meet people all the time. They don't see their own. They're not self-aware. They don't see that they're falling short. And so we ought to be the kind of person that, man, if we're messing up in an area, if we're lacking in an area, we get that right. We're a doer, not a hearer only. So they recognize those shortfalls. They see the need. They take the lead. They see where something needs to be done and they fix it. They don't just pawn it off on somebody else. They take personal responsibility and say, I'm going to help with that. I'm going to do something about that. Boy, if I see dust on the piano, I'm going to dust the piano. If I see a wasp floating in the baptistry, I'm going to get the wasp out of the baptistry. Amen? And a cockroach. There's two of them in there right now. But anyway, I'm just saying that's very practical with the work of God, but you could go all over the map with that. I'm just saying, we see the need, we take the lead. A participator recognizes shortfalls. Letter B, a participator is ready to serve. Ready to serve. How many of you sat on the bench a lot? When I was in basketball, I'll just say it plainly here, I'll be honest. I was terrible. But I played soccer, so I was pretty fast and I was in good shape. So all I could do was run. Don't give me the ball, but I can run back and forth, you know? And I think the coach, when I was in high school, I think I was a senior in high school, I think the coach let me play on the team just because I hustled, but I sat on the bench the whole thing. And but you know what? Every game, and you're probably the same way, whether you sit on the bench or not, you show up in your uniform. You show up ready to play. And may I say this? When you come to church, show up ready to play. Show up ready to go. And you all know that kid on the sports team that never plays, and he's bothering the coach the whole time. Coach, put me in, coach. I'm next, coach. And the coach is like, be quiet, please. We're going to lose if you play. But coach, put me in. Come on, coach, please. I can do it. Give me. We all know that kid. And then there's always that kid that sits way at the end of the bench that doesn't want to play. You know that kid? Where he's like, hey, Timmy. You're like, no, I don't want to play, you know? But can I say this? Show up being the kid saying, coach, put me in. Coach, put me in. I want to play, coach. I don't want to sit on this bench the entire game. Put me in. I want to do something. And listen, put me in, coach. I want to play. I didn't come to sit. I didn't come to spectate. I want to play the game. That's how we ought to be. That's how we ought to be in our life with the work of God. I want to be the put me in, coach, kid. I don't want to be the kid who sits at the end of the bench trying to hide, even though I've been there because I didn't want to play. But anyway, let me give you some thoughts here. They're in your notes there. Spectators come late, leave early. Spectators come late, leave early. It's all about convenience. Hey, let's get out of here before the traffic. There's a spectator there. They're not there to win the game. They're there to watch the game. So they come late, they leave early. Participators come early and leave late. Spectators have a lot of opinions about what's happening. I'm just going to be quiet for a second. Spectators have a lot of opinions about what's happening. Participators are part of what's happening. It's going to be quiet for a second. Let the Holy Spirit work on that one. Spectators get fully engrossed. Boy, they're watching that game. Participators get fully engaged. Participators are fully, participators are interested in conquering. Spectators are easily distracted. I know I am when I go to a sports game. Churros, me over here, amen. I want a churro. We get easily distracted. Participators are fully devoted. Spectators are interested. Participators are invested. Spectators become critical. Participators become are constructive. It's okay to have an opinion about something as long as it's constructive. Pastor, hey, what do you think about this? And here's a solution to this, this, and this. Now, Pastor, I need to talk to you. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things wrong. And that's not constructive. Think about the solution to it. You're a participator. Amen. Say, you know what? I'm going to pray about this. And before I go talk to Pastor, I want to have some solutions to give to him before I come to him with a problem. Amen? And that helps a lot. And so they're constructive. And then spectators watch the victory, but participators win the victory. Hey, I don't know about you. I want to be a participator. Amen. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a part of the victory. Let me give you number three. A participator has a prosperous performance. A participator has a prosperous performance. Look at verse 25. James says this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," and what's the next word? "Continueth therein." Boy, they don't just hear the word of God. They continue in the word of God. It doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. It goes into the heart. And they say, I'm going to keep studying this out, and I want God to teach me from His Word what He wants from me. I want Him to steer me. As a pastor, God is constantly, constantly saying, no, that's not the right direction. Go this way. And in your personal life, God is constantly trying to direct us and guide us and help us. And so we don't just look at our face in a glass and walk away and forget. We're not a hearer and not a doer. We hear the law. We hear the Word of God. We read the Word of God, and we continue therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice what James says, "This man shall be blessed in his deed." I want my deeds to be blessed. I want my deeds to go farther than what I can do. I want them to be blessed. There are a lot of people who are great starters. We all love to start things, don't we? We love to start. We love to jump all in. But the rare person is the participator that continues, that doesn't quit. Let me give you letter A. A participator refuses to surrender, step down, or sell out. Refuses to surrender, step down, or sell out. He continues. He doesn't allow things to get in his way or her way. They continue. Boy, if someone offends them, the Bible says nothing shall offend them. And so they continue. Boy, somebody upsets them, but they don't allow themselves to get bitter. And they continue. Boy, they just continue. That's the rare person, the participator. Galatians chapter number 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well, but faint not. I read a story about an ultra marathon runner. I thought about you, Rob, when I wrote this, because he's a marathon runner over here. And the farthest I run is to my mailbox, and that's about it for me. But an ultra marathon runner. His name was Dean Karnazes. Karnazes, I think is how you pronounce it. In 2006, this particular guy, he embarked on a well-publicized endurance race called the 50-50-50. 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 consecutive days, beginning with the Lewis and Clark Marathon in St. Louis, September 17th, 2006. He finished the 50-50-50 in New York City on November the 5th. Wow, what an amazing feat. This guy is known around the country for just being incredible. He ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes without sleep in 2005. 350 miles. I don't know if I could run 3 miles without falling asleep. But anyway, 350 miles, 80 hours, 44 minutes without sleep. He's single-handedly completing the relay. They call it the relay, a 199-mile run from Calistoga down to Santa Cruz. He's done that 11 times. He ran a marathon to the South Pole in negative 13 degree. You can look all this up. Negative 13 degree temperatures without snowshoes in 2002. Just an incredible guy. But you know what? He loves publicity, and so he had this publicity stunt. After his 50-50-50, he was going to run from New York back to his home in San Francisco, because only weirdos who like to run live in San Francisco. Just kidding, Rob. I'm just kidding. And so he's going to run all the way from New York all the way back to San Francisco, and he made it as far as Missouri, and he quit. Huge disappointment. Quit. And he had a bunch of reasons for it, but you know what? He did all these things, but he couldn't finish. He quit, which I think for getting to Missouri. But anyway, the Bible tells us, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't allow yourself to get tired of participating. Don't call it quits. A participator finishes his race. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How many here tonight say, I don't just want to fill a spot in the pew. I want to be a participator. I don't want to just watch what God is doing in my church. I don't want to just watch what God is doing in other people's lives. I don't want to just watch what God is doing in the ministry over here or in my family over here. I want to participate in that. I want to be a part of that. I want to see God work in my church. I want to see God work in my city. I want to see God work in my state. I want to see God work in my country. I want to see God do something all around the world. Christians all across this country have adopted a spectator lifestyle. They show up early, they leave late. They've gotten comfortable with spectating. They're comfortable with comfort. They're comfortable being distracted. They're content with consuming rather than contributing. They're content with being critical. They're content with watching others lead people to Christ. They're content with watching others bring their friends to church. And the list goes on and on. But wait, we could do better than that. Let me give you the last point here, letter B. Participators refuse to be spectators. They refuse it. They refuse it. Maybe you're here tonight, Central Valley Baptist Church, 10948 South Airport Way, Manteca, California, 95336. And you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking to yourself, I refuse to be a spectator. I refuse to be a spectator. I refuse to sit and not be a part. I refuse to watch others win the game. I refuse to surrender. I refuse to step down. I refuse to sell out. There's a lot of people selling out today, just selling out. But I refuse. Maybe tonight you've been on the bench for a while. And I understand we all get tired and we need a break sometimes. We all get tired and we need to refuel. But listen, maybe you've been on the bench for a while. It's time to get back in the game. Maybe you need to bother the coach a little bit. Coach, put me back in. I know I'm not very good, but put me back in. I'm a little bit nervous, but I'll do my best. Put me back in, coach. Please, put me back in. I know I've been injured. I know I've been out for a while, but put me back in, coach. Please, I want to play. And yes, it's been a while since I played, but put me back in. And maybe you messed up. Maybe you messed up last time you were playing. But God, but coach, put me back in. Maybe you're here tonight and you think, I want to get back in the game. I'm glad that our church is not an 18% church. I'm so thankful for that. I'm privileged to be a part of a church that's not an 18% church. We may be 50 or 75%, I'm not sure. But wouldn't it be blessing? Wouldn't it be a blessing if we are a 100% church? We may be the only one. But wouldn't it be a blessing if everybody said, I'm not going to be a participator. I'm not going to, that would be bad. I'm not going to be a spectator. I want to be a part. I want to be involved. I want to be a part of the work. Maybe tonight your decision is I need to get off the bench. Maybe tonight your decision is I'm going to stay in the game. I'm going to stay in the game. Perhaps you're doing your best. And yes, the work of God is tiresome, and it can be difficult. But myself, that we will reap if we faint not. But tonight, wherever you're at, would you vow in your heart tonight, I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm going to refuse. I'm going to be a participator. Every head bowed and every eye closed.